Second Chronicles chapter 20, if you'll turn with me, believing God to touch us tonight. I will be speaking to you tonight on how to win the battles of life. I think this is important. I think we're living in a day when Satan is probably doing his greatest battle, because he understands something that we believe he knows to be a guaranteed fact. We believe the Lord's coming. We believe it could be at any day. But you see, the thing is, he knows he's coming. He knows his time's limited. He knows everything's wrong. And for that reason, he's doing everything he can to throw the haymaker at us at the right time. But can I tell you that as long as God is on our side, everything's going to be all right. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise be unto God. As long as God's on our side, we're going to win. Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them there others besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria. And behold, they be with Hazion Tamar, which is in En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judea. And Judea gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judea, they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judea and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O Lord God of our father, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, Israel, and gave it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, and then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade, when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. For behold, I say, how they reward us to come and cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. But O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no mighty against this company. It cometh against us. Neither know we what to do. But our eyes are upon thee. And all Judea stood before the Lord, and their little ones, their wives, and their children. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight, God, for your word. We ask, God, that you would reach down and touch with the power of your grace. For God, we know your power and your grace and your glory is sufficient tonight. And God, I'm believing you now. Lord, help us to realize that real victory comes in trusting in you and in the power of your might, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Praise God. Reach over, shake your neighbor's hand, look him right now and say, "Hey, you're beautiful." I'm glad to see you in the house of the Lord tonight. I'm going to be honest with you, folks. I worry about the youth pastor. I said, "Turn and tell him you're beautiful." He turns to the boy beside him instead of the good-looking girl on the other side. It scares me. Thomas, I like you, buddy, but if I was sitting by the girl, I'd have told her first. Especially if it's my daughter. I'm just helping you out, buddy. Amen. In the chapter prior to this, Jehoshaphat's putting Israel back together. He's starting to reform the kingdom, providing for the due administration of justice, support of religious things that have been going on, expecting nothing but to hear of the peace and prosperity of his reign. He's thinking everything's going to be all right because, man, we've done had victory. We've helped Israel win a victory. We've gone in and helped them fight and defeat their enemies. And now God is going to put his hand on us and everything's going to be all right. We're going to reign in power and in prosperity. Amen. But here we have him in distress. Hello? Didn't you ever fit that bill where you think everything's going to be all right? And you get up in the morning or you get a phone call in the night and all of a sudden you realize it ain't all right anymore. Distress is a way of life. Come on, church. Amen. We get these preachers talking about, well, if you live right, you'll never have a problem. You'll never have a trial. You'll never have a tribulation. But they cannot find that in Scripture. They can't prove it in Scripture. What my Bible said, many are the afflictions of the saints of the Most High God. What it does say, though, is that our God will deliver us out of all these afflictions. It didn't say that I was going to be able to miss the fiery furnace. Just said, I'm going to take you through the fire. Hallelujah. Didn't tell me I might not have to spend the night in the lion's den. Just said, if I do, I'm going to give the lion's lockjaw. And if you'll trust me, I'm going to bring you out the other side. Why do we go through trouble? Because we need a testimony. God uses us to prove to the world who he is. And it is the testimony of our victories that makes us overcomers. Amen. We sung that song a while ago. I'm going to keep on singing. Written by a guy named Andre Crouch. He wrote another song called Through It All. He said, I thank God for the mountains and I thank him for the valleys. And I thank him for the trials he's brought me through. Why? Because if I'd never had a problem, I'd never know God could solve them, and I'd never know what faith in God can do. I want to tell you something, honey. We need to understand there's a world outside needs to know there's a real God. They don't need talk. They don't need a book to read. They need somebody who said, I've been down to the bottom of the well, and I've been brought out by the power of God, and I can tell you of a third thing, that my God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly and above all we could ever ask or think. Could you say amen? Woo. When the enemy came against Jehoshaphat, notice something. The Bible said he acted in fear. Somebody said, wait a minute, preacher. You're not supposed to be afraid. I understand that. The Bible tells us fear not. Do you know 365 times in the Bible the words fear not appear? Amen. You know what that means? I got one for every day of the year that says I don't have to be afraid. But the Bible said Jehoshaphat acted in fear. Listen to verse 3. And Jehoshaphat feared. Can I tell you, if you don't get afraid when things are going wrong, something wrong with you? Huh? When that doctor looks at you and says, look, I'm sorry, but you got, and pops in you, you might as well understand that fear is going to dominate your life, especially if it's the big C. I'll be honest with you. They told me I had cancer. Week or so later, my brother come up, spent the day with me, started talking about a bucket list, and I started trying to figure out if they knew something I didn't know. I mean, here I was thinking I said something simple, we was going to handle it. Next thing you know, he's ever talking about what you need to do before you die. I don't have a bucket list. I've done most everything I'd like to do, some stuff I didn't really want to do. But you know what? I got thinking about it, and I said, you know, there's a couple things I'd like to knock off here just in case. But if I miss them, I'll do it during the millennial. Be easier, then I don't have to worry about getting hurt. Glory. Come on, church, smile. Some of y'all missed that. Glory. Amen. But now, church, the reality is, notice what it said. He operated in the kind of fear, the only kind of fear that a Christian can operate in. You say, what are you talking about? Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judea. What did he do? Because he was afraid. He said, I'm afraid. I'm afraid in myself, but I also know that in him I'm going to live. In him I'm going to move, and in him I'm going to have my being, and by him I am more than a conqueror. And because I'm afraid of what's happening right now, I'm fixing to get on my knees and I'm going to call on God. And I want everybody that will to intercede with me, because the enemy's out there, but my God is in here. And if God be for us, who can come against us? Oh, glory. Notice in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible said, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. You know, you're out there one day enjoying life, and all of a sudden God says, let me tell you something. It ain't going good. I mean, let's face it. You got life pretty good, and you got a pawpaw 900 years old, and you're thinking, I'm in the bloodline. Don't tell me I got to stop and give y'all a Bible lesson. Some of y'all looking at, who's he talking about? His name was Methuselah. He was Noah's granddad. I want you to notice something. He wasn't on the manifest to get on the boat, so somewhere down the line, them 900 years, he messed up. Well, you can't prove that, preacher. I most certainly can, because the Bible said God searched over earth and he found none but Noah that could find grace in the eyes of God. His great-grandfather walked with God, just left one day. I mean, Noah's got it made. And then all of a sudden God reveals to him, I'm fitting to wipe this place out. I'm going to send a rain and a flood and everything's going to be gone, and you got to build this boat. And all of a sudden he's got the pressure of building a boat that's going to float half the, all the animals of the world, you know, the ones he's got to get on there. He's got to figure out how to get his kids on the boat. Under all that pressure, he got afraid. But notice it said he moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. What he says that all of a sudden that fear he had turned to faith, because all of a sudden he realized, if I build the boat, I ain't going to drown. If I build this boat, everything's going to be all right. You say, well, preacher, did he have enough faith? He convinced his boys to get on the boat. He didn't have to beg them. He didn't have to plead with them. He said, you need to help me build the boat, then we're going to get on it. Amen. Now, church, let me tell you something. The rest of the world thought he was crazy, but them boys followed daddy right on the boat. They didn't care. Can I tell you, some of us need to get that kind of fear of God in our heart and in our life again, where we will have fear that will turn to faith that said, I know that no matter what's going on, my God is able and my God will do it. And I don't care what the devil says, there is victory to them who hold on to God. Hallelujah. Notice this, the place he prayed was a place God said he would hear from. In the book of 2 Chronicles chapter 7, they built the temple. They're getting ready to dedicate it. And all of a sudden, there's a man standing there, says in the 15th verse, now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attentive unto the prayer that is made in this place. It's what God says to Solomon. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. You know what he said? He said, I like this place. It's mine. Come on, church. Do you realize that up until now, there has not been a permanent dwelling on this earth for God? He had tents that he traveled in, a tabernacle he showed up in, but now we've got Solomon's temple, the first temple built in Jerusalem, and old Solomon's praying, and the Bible said when he made an end of praying, the Shekinah glory came down and got in that Holy of Holies. He said, man, I ain't got to come down on a mountaintop. I ain't got to be in a tree somewhere. I ain't got to hide in a bush. I can go down there where I can actually be in a place where my people can come in and they can be my God. Can I tell you, that's always been God's way. And there's coming a time when the Bible said, behold, I see a new city coming down out of heaven. It's a bride adorned for her husband. And I hear the voice of God saying, behold, the tabernacle of God will be with man, and I will then be their God, and they will be my people, and forever and forever and forever we are going to dwell in the presence of Almighty God, if we can just make it to the other side. Glory. Solomon prays, the Spirit of God falls into the to the outcry, and God speaks to him and said, I am happy with this place, and when you come here and pray, I'm going to hear you. Do you know that's why even to this day, if a Jew is praying, they face Jerusalem? Hello? I don't care where they are, they're going to face Jerusalem. They got a compass already built in, or they figured out where it's at. That's why when Daniel prayed, he got on the window sill and looked toward Jerusalem. Hello? Even when the king said, if you do it, you go into the lions, did he went home, got on that window and prayed anyway, because he said, as long as I'm connected to him, ain't a lion got teeth enough to tear me up. And what was it? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, it don't matter if we do burn, we still gonna win. Hallelujah. Church, with that kind of attitude, you can't lose. Glory. Whew. I got to get back into this now. Listen to his prayer. He said, O Lord, God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? He said, God, aren't you in control up there? Hello? See, church, there's some things you got to come to know if you're ever going to believe God's really going to do anything. Amen. Come on, church. You got to know deep down inside of you, not a question, that God is in charge. Hello? He said, God, aren't you the God in heaven? And rulest thou not over all the kingdoms of the heathen? In other words, he said, don't you have your hand on these people that's fixing to attack? See, the problem some of us have is we've allowed people to teach us that Satan is a lot more than he really is. Come on, church. Y'all look at this. Oh, preacher, you better hush. No, I shouldn't hush. It's time somebody told the truth. He is a liar, he's a deceiver, and he ain't a whole lot. No, I said, you gonna take him by his chin whiskers? I ain't getting that close to him. What I'm going to do is stand back and say, the Lord rebuke you, because I understand it is not my place to put him in his place. God put him in his place thousands of years ago. And when he gets to bugging me, all I got to do is head into the presence of Almighty God and say, hey, I'm here, and the angels of the Lord will encamp around me, and the Lord himself will be greater in me than anything that could come against me. And if I understand that, then I understand I don't have to worry about the devil. He can roar all he wants to, but as far as I'm concerned, he's a toothless lion. Glory. Come on, church. I see some of you right now going, oh God, I'm not going to act like that. That's why he comes to your house and works on you. If you get a little bit of timidity out of you and stand up. Come on, church. When I was in high school, everybody knew I'd fight. Most of them knew they could whoop me, but they didn't want to get in a fight with me because they're afraid of the outcry. I didn't forget. You might whoop me, but the fight wasn't over as long as I was breathing, because I'd get you back somehow. One guy told one guy, said, the problem with him is if you start a fight with him a year later, it's still going on somehow. Hello? And so therefore, a lot of guys wouldn't fool with me because of the kind of attitude I had. There were guys knew they could whoop me, but they just didn't want the aggravation of fighting with me. I want demons to feel the same way. I want them to realize you might can do something to me, but I'm coming back tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the day after that. And if you want war, we're going to go at it, because I'm not backing up and I'm not giving up, and I'm coming after you, and I'm not coming in my own name, and I'm not coming in my own power. But the more you come after me, the deeper I'm getting in this word. The more you come after me, the more I'm going to pray. The more you come after me, the more I'm going to set the powers of heaven against you, until one day surrender is going to be your only option. I can hear some of you now. You just ain't had the devil get after you like me. Come on. I've been in his back door and laughed at him. Hello? How would you like to wake up in the morning, hear a guy praying across the street, wake you up praying that you'd get killed? I've done that. I was in Jerusalem. Muslim was praying across the road, knocked me out of bed with his voice. I thought there's raiding the motel. Glory. I come up, oh! Then I found out it was morning prayer. I got excited. I called Frida. It was the middle of the night. I think I spent $35-40 to make that dumb phone call. Oh, baby, listen to this. They're praying out loud. I was excited until I found out what he's praying. Then I found out he's praying for the death of every Jew and every heathen. I realized, since I'm not a Muslim, I'm a heathen. He got all the categories covered. They didn't say a thing to him about praying. They come knocked on my door when I was blowing that shofar at him. Oh, I told him, you're making too much noise. Hello? I'm walking down the street past this guy. They're having prayers, and there's a Jewish soldier standing, and I walk by him. I said, does that not bother you? Because I know now they're praying for him to die and me to die. He looked at me and he said, who's listening? I like that. I got a whole new attitude about this thing, because I don't believe Muhammad's a god, and I don't believe Allah exists, so they can pray all they want to. But my God does exist, and my God is in charge, and my God has got the power to bring me out. And when I call on the name of the Lord, I understand that I'm calling on a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that he is Lord God Almighty, who reigns forever and forever and forever. Could you say amen? Glory. Amen. Is thy hand, is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people, and they that dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein by thy name? If when evil cometh upon us, as a sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we stand before the house and in thy presence, for thy name is in the house, and cry unto thee in our afflictions, then thou wilt hear and help. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Let me give you Romans chapter 8. Love the chapter. It's awesome. It begins by simply telling me I'm free of the bondage of this world. Amen. See, Romans is a letter. It isn't wrote down in chapters in the original text. Some monk translating it just decided to divide it up. Well, there's one place I know he divided it in the wrong place. You don't make a chapter-oral indentation and break right in the middle of a conversation. And Paul is making a conversation when he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who is going to deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God that in my mind, I'm going to serve the law of God, but in the flesh, I'm going to serve the law of sin. Now, if you stop right there, it sounds like as long as I'm in the flesh, I'm going to have to sin. I'm going to be bound by sin. I can't get free of sin. But notice what he said. He didn't stop there. He goes on with the same statement and said, but there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of life in Christ Jesus has made me free of the law of sin and of death. Could you say amen to that, church? Praise God. You say, preacher, do you really believe that? I sure do. But now notice what he says in the latter part of that 8th chapter. What's going to separate me from the love of God? Is it famine? Is it peril? Is it nakedness? Is it sword? He said, yea, in all these things I am more than a conqueror. And I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor even angels, or the devil himself can separate me from the love of God, which has come in my life. Can I tell you that if I know my God's in charge, I have nothing in this world to be afraid of, because I know in him I am more than a conqueror. Could you say amen? Amen. Listen, I finish. Our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against the great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are open, or and upon thee. You know what he said? He said, God, there's a lion out there roaring. He's wanting to tear me up, but I ain't even looking at him. I'm looking straight at you, because I realize as long as I'm focused on you, ain't nothing going to happen but what you want to happen. Hello? Come on, church. You know what? You keep your eyes on God, there ain't enough waves to take you under. You keep your eyes on God, there's not enough devils to pull you down. You keep your eyes on God, there is not enough disease to tear your body all to pieces without God being able to do something about it. And what he basically said was, God, now that I'm through talking to you, I want you to understand something. I'm not looking at those people coming to attack. I can't even see them. What I know is that my eyes are focused on you, and I'm looking on you. You say, what are you getting at? I look under the heavens, from which cometh my help, for my help cometh from the Lord. I've got my mind on you. I got my heart on you, and I'm not worried about what the enemy says. Could you say amen? Amen. He points out who they are and the promises that were made to them. James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled that said to Abraham, believe God, and it will be imputed unto him for righteousness, and he will be called the friend of God. We like to sing that song, I am a friend of God. Let me tell you something, church. You can call yourself a friend of God all you want to, but when God does what he did for Abraham and said, from now on, I'm going to call you my friend, that is something. Come on, church. Y'all may not understand this. I have a lot of people that call the overseer to talk to him and say, you know, Ken Stroop, I'm his friend. And he'll call me and say, do you know them? I got one guy in particular that drops my name pretty regularly. Now, I know him, but we ain't what you call bosom buddies. Hello? I know his name. I preach for him. But he's not what I'd call a close friend. And he asked me, he said, well, he just dropped your name and said, I ought to help him because he knows you. I said, boy, you ought to tell him the truth that knowing me ain't going to get him no help at all. Glory. Come on, church. Don't sit there and tell me you don't know the power of being known by somebody. Huh? I'm at Winterfest one year, several years back. Brother Childers, as our overseer now, was assistant youth director at that time. The national youth director was Brother Griffiths, who is now a member of the executive committee of the Church of God. Third assistant, I think, somewhere along in there. And I went upstairs before the service. They take all the youth directors up and they make a big promotion, and they were up there making this big deal to the youth directors, and I'm sitting up there with a guy from my church. I just went up there with him just to be there. And I'm over in the back corner, and when I walked in, I waved at Brother Griffiths. He said something to Brother Childers, and Brother Childers gets up there to close the service. Now, that afternoon, I walked by their assistant, whose name will remain anonymous because he's now the General Youth and Christian Education Director. I walked up, shook his hand. He acted like he didn't know me, didn't want to know me, and just kind of walked off, never even acted like I even existed. He just kind of shook my hand because he had to. And I'm back there in the back, and Brother Childers gets up to get through, and he looks back and he said, is Stroop back there? Stand up. I want to see you. We got to go to Waffle House in the morning. Glory. Something about the Waffle House, some of them guys from Cleveland. Amen. Some of y'all that remember your former pastor will understand that. He thought that's the only place to eat breakfast. Brother Childers actually performed a wedding ceremony when he was youth director in Alabama at the Waffle House, where he ate every morning. There was a couple come in to get married, had their license, and he married them right there in the Waffle House. Glory. And about that time, Brother Griffiths popped up and he said, there's a buffet on the other end of town, Stroop. Let's go hit it. Now, they were talking about friendships we made while they were youth directors somewhere, and I knew them from that. The next day, I'm walking through town. The guy that's their assistant walked all the way across the street to shake my hand. Well, Brother Ken, how are you? Because all of a sudden, I know somebody, his two bosses. And I become somebody because I knew somebody. Hello? Come on, church. Y'all act like that ain't important. It is. Because when a demon knocks on my door, he may not know who I am. He may not have had the obligation of meeting me or having anything to know about my ministry or anything going on. But when I open the door and realize what's there, I just simply say, I have a God in me, and I turn him loose on him, and he begins to realize, wait a minute, he knows Jesus Christ. And because of that, I'm not fooling with him. The anointing of God can rise up in me, and I don't even have to tell him go. He understands. He's not edible. Come on, church. Amen. Listen to God's answer. I'm not going to preach all night. My Lord, I worked on this all afternoon. Give me a break. This is one of them fancy sermons. It's an expository, in case y'all didn't know I knew what preaching was. 14th verse. And then upon Jehaziel, which simply means heard of God, a man heard from God stands up, who was the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, the son of Aphas. In case you don't understand that, he's a sixth generation preacher. Glory. That's what he'd tell them at the preacher's meeting. I'm sixth generation church of God. I used to go to camp meeting, them guys walk up, I'm fifth generation church of God. And I go, so? My granddaddy pastored Alabama City when it first started. I said, that don't mean nothing to me. He said, what are you talking about? I said, well, my great granddaddy built the building. If it hadn't been for him, he wouldn't have nowhere to preach. Glory. Hello? The Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation and said, hearken ye all Judea and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, behold, be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Some of y'all need to hear that. Some of you need to understand that fight you're fighting isn't yours, so quit fighting it. Quit trying to paddle a boat, just get the paddle, put it back in, and ride. Come on, church. Amen. He said, the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliffs of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Amen. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord that is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. All of a sudden, God says, you ain't got to fight. All I want you to do is show up so you can see what I'm going to do, because it wouldn't be no need me doing it if you ain't going to watch. Hallelujah. Church, some of y'all need to realize that battle you've been fighting, the minute you stop fighting and stand still, you're going to see God start to move and some things start to change when you let go and let God. Come on, church. Oh, that's good preaching. Amen. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head and his face to the ground. And all Judea and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites and the children of Kohath and the children of the Kohites stood up to praise God, God of Israel, with a loud voice on high. Jehoshaphat probably remembered the song of David found in the 60th division of Psalms. Listen to what he said. Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of thy of truth. Thou hast, but thy beloved may be delivered, save from thy right hand. And hear me. God has spoken in his holiness, and I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also, and the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Philistia, triumph thou because of me. But who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt not thou, O God, which hath cast us off, and thou, O God, which didst not go out with thine armies, give us help from trouble? For vain is the help of man. Through God we shall go valiantly, and for he is his, it is he that shall tread down our enemies. Did you hear what he said? David said, look, you're the one that's going to take me to the top. You're the one I'm going to believe in. You're the one that's going to make me victorious. You're the one in whom I live and who I believe. You are the one that's going to give me victory. The victory was won before the battle was ever fought, because it was won on their knees talking to God. Can I tell you, you're not going to win the battle in the middle of the fight. You'll win the battle before the fight ever starts by calling on the name of the Lord. Could you say amen? Results, 20th verse, 20th chapter. And they arose early in the morning and went forth to the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and they said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever and ever. And when they began to sing and praise the Lord, set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Can I tell you what happens when you get through praying and you realize victory is yours, and you begin to magnify God? God begins to move. And notice what it said. He set ambushments against the enemy. Israel did not have to fight, but God himself sent angels to stand between them and the enemy and begin to smite the enemy because they were worshiping him. Church, some of you ought to walk out of this building tonight saying, oh, the Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever and forever. The Lord is good, and his mercy endureth forever and forever. Notice what happened. And when Judea came toward to watch the tower of the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies. Hello? Not a one of them survived. They actually, two of the committees turned and killed one group, and then they killed each other. Amen. And Israel just stood out there watching it going, can you believe this? And notice this, they noticed not only were they dead, but they were precious jewels. And it said that they began to carry away. Hello? And there were 3 days in gathering the spoils that it took from the enemy. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka, for there is blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of the same place is called the Valley of Baraka unto this day. And then they returned, every man to Judah and Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with a psaltery and the harp and the trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for this God gave him rest. Did you hear what it said? He didn't have to worry anymore because it was all quiet on the western front. The enemy had surrendered. Everything was down. And not only that, in their countries they were saying, we can't go against them. We'll fight anybody else but not them. Those people are bad. We can't handle them. Come on, church. Amen. You say, preacher, what good does that do? Listen, if we want real rest, it will come when we learn how to trust in God. Amen. Listen, Psalms 37. Listen to what it said. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious of the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and they will wither like the green herb. But trust in the Lord and do good, and verily thou shalt be fed, and verily thou shalt dwell in the land. If we learn how to trust in God, we've got victory coming. If we learn how to trust in God, we can have it made. Come on, church. Hallelujah. Jesus got in a boat. The storm was setting the boat all over. Water was filling the boat up. Where was Jesus? He laid down the boat and went to sleep. And when the man woke him up, he did not rebuke the wave first, and he did not rebuke the wind. He rebuked the guy for waking him up. You know what he said? You should have laid down and went to sleep with me, because if you trusted me, it wouldn't have bothered you. Can I tell you, church, it's time some of us got in the back of the boat, laid down, and said, it is not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God, because I've got victory coming through Jesus Christ. Stand with me all over the house. I don't know who needs to hear this word tonight, but I can guarantee you it ain't somebody that ain't here. God's never given me a message to waste. And God gave me this message for somebody tonight who's fighting some awful battles. And it seems like every time you think you got victory, the battle turns against you again. But you shouldn't be going from battle to battle. You ought to be going from glory to glory. Because God ought to be fighting your battles. And victory ought to be in your world. And peace and rest ought to be happening in your life. I didn't say you wasn't going to have to go in the fire. But you're going to rest while you're in the fire. Because you're going to be like them boys saying, look, our God, whom we serve, will take care of us in the fire. Whether we live or die, we coming out of the fire with victory. Hallelujah. Come on, church. I hear Daniel when the king said, Daniel! I don't believe he didn't make an impression on the king. I mean, most people, they drop them in the lion's den, they don't last 30 seconds. The lion's got them tore apart and gnawing on them. But the next morning, he's down there going, Daniel! Did the God you talk about in the office take care of you? And I hear him say, live long, O king. Everything's all right. Because my God. Church, that's what the world's looking for. Is somebody who's willing to go through the fire and come out the other side without the smoke on them. Somebody willing to walk in the lion's den, let them know there is a God that can take care of you in the lion's den. Because in both cases, the edict the next morning in the paper was, there is no other God than the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There is no other God than the God of Daniel. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, the world needs to hear, there is no such thing as Muhammad or Buddha, Hare Krishna, or none of these other gods, but there is the Lord God who reigns forever and forever and forever and forever. And it'll happen when they see in you and I a peace that passes all understanding, a joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, because we understand the battle is not Father, I thank you tonight, God, for your word. Master, you said it's not by might nor by power, but by thy spirit, saith God. Father, I commend my congregation into your hands. Oh, Lord, would you touch us tonight with your glory? God, move on us with your love. Holy Spirit of God, have your way in us tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.